take your Bibles to a familiar passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. And we're going to continue talking about different characteristics of the Christian life. And this one will help us to be what we need to be for the Lord. And so we're going to look at this chapter, and I'm not, for sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it, but we'll read eight or nine verses or so, and then we'll continue on with the message for tonight. So out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, please stand, and we'll read. You follow along. I'll read out loud. Verses 1 through 10, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." In verse 11 it says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end." Tonight's characteristic is that of being purposeful. Purposeful. To have purpose is, in the noun form of the word, I'll make all you English people happy. I think we have a renowned English teacher in our midst this evening, I've been told. And I do apologize, because I am not a fan of English. I'm a math guy. I like absolutes. I hate breaking rules. That's what English likes to do, break rules. They make the rules and they break the rules. I don't know. Anyways, but in the noun sense of the word, purpose is that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. Right? So this is my purpose, something I want to accomplish, something I want to reach. It's the end or the aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. Okay, so an object, it's a noun, right? A thing that I can attain to, or something I've set my sights on, or something I want to accomplish, perhaps like a goal, or something to have completed as a task. Then in the verb form of the word, if I'm going to say I'm going to purpose to do such and such, then I'm going to intend or design or resolve to determine on the accomplishment of a thing. So I'm going to put into action all that I can to make sure that this takes place. That's living life with purpose. You know, in our world today, anybody in education will probably be able to tell you this, or if you just pay attention and turn on the news or whatever, or any type of observation of mankind today, our world lacks purpose. Just in general. And it could even be said that in Christianity, Christians lack purpose. Why? Is there not an object? Or can I quote David and say, is there not a cause? Isn't there something to be accomplished? I mean, if you think of that story in itself, as he went there, they were in line upon line, battle, army against army in battle, and they were there for a purpose, right? Weren't they? And yet, all of the children of Israel were kind of just hiding. Oh no, we're not going to go. I mean, David comes like, you guys going to let this guy talk like this? You're going to let him defy our God? I can't let this happen. Because David had purpose in his life. Solomon said, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. He went back and forth and mentioned all these different things. Can I say something? There is something to be accomplished. There's a mark to be hit. There's a work to be done. There's a harvest out there that Jesus said it was plenteous, but the laborers were few. What's he saying? Not a lot of people with purpose. Where are those people? I should say, we are those people. We, the children of God, are the ones, if anybody does, that has a purpose. Do we not? Hey, remember what is said in Scripture, that we're bought with a price. We're not our own. This is not my life to live for me. This is my life to live for Him. You understand that God has given us a purpose. When we were lost and undone, dying in our trespasses and sins, no purpose. It's all futile. Just like if you go on to read in Ecclesiastes, Solomon speaks of the vanity of this life under the sun. It is. What? You're just going to eat, grow, get fat, get skinny, die? I don't know. Does that go in that order? I don't know. We'll see. But, to what end? Are we just going to... Well, we came from I don't know where, and when we die, we're just going to disappear, and that's all it's going to be. No, there is an eternity. No, there is something more than what we just physically can see here on this earth. So as Christians, if tonight you are born again, and I hope you are, we do have some purpose. We do have purpose. We have a purpose, and we need to purpose toward that purpose. See how you did that? You could do that with English because you can just kind of put it in wherever you want to go. But I'm going to intend, design, resolve, determine to make sure that what that thing that I've set before myself is accomplished. And that's how we ought to live our lives as believers in Christ. So this characteristic needs to be a part of who we are as believers. Well, what are some areas that we can attend to something or accomplish something? One of that is in our physical life. Our physical life. Hey, we have a physical body. A physical life to live. Does that mean taking care of ourselves? Yes. Does that mean growing, developing, maturing? Yes. So, listen, I do like that verse in Romans where it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. But you know what? It still profits. Now, I told you, last Monday, I got poison ivy. Again. For like the seventh or eighth time. I just can't avoid this stuff. I don't know. But I was a little discouraged because I'm generally a slender individual. But I have been looking in the mirror lately. I was disappointed at what the number said on the scale. I was like, whoa, I need to do something about this. I'm a little more than I want to be. You say, shouldn't you want to be all that you can be? Well, that's the Army's motto. I don't know about the Navy guys. But no, I probably need to get out and maybe do a little more bodily exercise to my profit. My wife... probably wouldn't like it if I left her alone in this world with 12 children to take care of. That would probably, and I don't know, you all might miss me a little bit, I suppose, perhaps. But anyways, I think we ought to purpose to care for ourselves, right? How about this? Not only in our physical life, but but also in our workings in this world. Our testimony, in our job, in our integrity, in our relationships with others. We need to purpose to live our life the best we can. Amen. That should be our purpose. Amen. I can't tell you more often than I can remember, Dr. Smith would always say that. That your best is good enough for God no matter how poor it is. But less than your best is never good enough for God no matter how good it is. But he just wants our best. Living life with purpose. In physical life, in relationships, in our work, in our testimony. The Bible does tell us that we're supposed to live with purpose. Remember the story in Daniel chapter 1? How Daniel and his comrades were taken captive. The people had sinned against God. This was a judgment from God. But that didn't mean that they had to just give up, right? That didn't mean they just had to go into captivity and say, oh, well, my life is over and it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. And my relationship with God doesn't mean anything. And I'm just going to sit here in this prison and I'm going to waste away because God's judgment is against my fathers. And is that how they approached it? No. No, it's not. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, if you go on and read, you know how that story turned out positive. And actually, for the rest of the captives, they ended up taking away all the portion of the king's meat and gave him pulse to eat because they looked fairer and fatter than flesh than they were before. Later on, we know how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king that they were not careful to answer him, that they weren't going to bow down, and that their God would deliver them. Later on, Daniel prayed openly, even though the law had gone out, that he'd be cast into the lion's den for praying to another god. Do you think these men lived with purpose during the captivity? Oh, I do. You mean we can live with purpose in this dark world that we live in? Yes, we can. And we should in our physical life. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Amen. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I can't allude enough to my experiences in life. I ran track and cross country as a teenager in high school. And the thing that our coach ingrained in us over and over and over again was you better leave it all on the track. I mean, he would get mad if on the way home from the track meet, everybody was jumping around and hollering and yelling and you know, hoorahing back and forth. In his mind, we should all be dog dead tired because we gave every ounce of energy in that race. What are you saving it for? The ride home? You get me? When the Lord calls you home, are you gonna need to save back some of this energy here on earth to use up in heaven? I know for sure Dr. Fisk is looking forward to that new body up there. Don't have those aches and pains, Doc. I'm just telling you. What are you saving it for? Live life with purpose. Amen. Purpose in our life, our physical life. Well, moving right along, how about purpose in our spiritual life? Hey, listen, I'm for taking care of things. working a job, working it well, having a good testimony, you know, earning money, having a home, maintaining it, taking care of your physical body, taking care of your family, your relationships. Hey, we need to care for the physical life. Be a good manager of what God has given to us. It's called being a good steward, right? But don't neglect the spiritual life. Amen. Can I tell you something? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Remember, we've read recently of the church in Ephesus in Revelation. How the Lord commended them for all the things that they were doing. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Hey there, Luke chapter 10, look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but this one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Hey, he didn't tell Martha that she was wrong. He didn't tell Martha that she was not doing the right thing. He just said, Martha, you're neglecting the spiritual life. You're so cumbered about by the physical life, and you're so purposed in that, that you've lost sight of me. Have you lost sight of the Lord? Your walk with him? Your relationship with him? We need to purpose to walk with God. Can I tell you something? It's not going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen. And guess what? It'll be the first thing that gets put aside because the other things are here and now and pressing. It will. You say, how do you know? I've been there. Pastor, you have? I've been there many times. And that's not a great thing to speak of, is it? But it is so true. We need to have purpose. Is there an object to be reached? A goal to be accomplished? Something to obtain in your spiritual life? In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, we should, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted and believed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It's his purpose. Are we not the called according to his purpose? Are we not here to work the work of him that has sent us?
Jesus said that in John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Are we not told in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, we can be purposeful in our physical life, and we must be, being a good steward of what God has bestowed upon us. But we cannot, we must not neglect the spiritual life.
Amen.
Over and over again, we've gone to Romans chapter 8, and I just want to sum up and just say that for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, we need to live a spiritual Christian life. Did not Jesus tell us we're the light of the world? Did he not say we're the salt of the earth? We have a job to do. We have to reflect Christ in us, because otherwise they're not going to know who he is.
Amen.
And we can do all the works. We can be cumbered about by these things and miss Jesus completely. Martha did. The Ephesians did. Will you? Will I? You see, how do I avoid that? Purpose. Be purposeful. Set a goal. Set it a mark. Accomplish that mark. Make sure you get there. What did Paul say? Finish my course. I've kept the faith. Hey, he said, I press toward the mark, right? Of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, hey, I'm done. I've reached my end. I know I've gotten where I need to go and been done, done what I need to do to get the job done. And that's what a Christian needs. You can call it purpose. You can call it resolve. You can call it whatever you want. But we must do it, both physically and spiritually. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 26. You see, this seems like an awful lot to really digest this evening. Well, it is. And I have about 18 more scriptures to read to you, but we don't have time for that. So let me get to my third point. Not only purpose in the physical life and purpose in the spiritual life, but purpose in reproduction. Reproduction. Acts chapter 26 and verse 15. It says, Paul talking about his account on the Damascus road, he said, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Specific. Jesus said to Saul, he said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Hey, we need to have purpose as a Christian in our physical life. And we need to have purpose as a Christian in our spiritual life. But we also need to have a purpose in reproducing ourselves.
Amen.
Are we not to bear fruit? More fruit and much fruit? Is Christianity just a singular thing where I'm going to get Christianity and that way I get to die and I get to go to heaven and that's it? Is that what it's for? Is that the purpose of it? Paul, if you will, was saved for a purpose. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And he said, King, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to it. I fulfilled my purpose. I went to Damascus and I told them. I went to Jerusalem and I told them. And all the coast of Judea and I told them. And then I went to the Gentiles and I told all them. I even went to Mars Hill and I preached and told them. Who have we told? Who have we witnessed to? Who have we given the gospel to? Do we have a purpose in reaching someone else for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
If we're the last members of this local church, what will it be in 10 or 15 or 20 years? It won't be here. Doc's been in the ministry over, around 60 years or so. He's seen lots of churches close their doors. He's known lots of pastors who aren't pastors anymore. Missionaries who aren't missionaries anymore. Places across the world. This man has taken more mission trips than I can even count. That there's no longer a presence in those countries like there used to be. So, Pastor, fewer people are coming to local churches and fewer people are going to Bible college and that must mean God's kind of winding down things toward the end here. No. That just means there's less of us with the purpose to reproduce ourselves than there should be. You know what should be happening? There should be more Christians today than there were ever before. You say, why? Because of multiplication. We're not in the addition business. We're in the multiplication business. Hey, as they went through Acts, started with, you had 100, Jesus started with the 12, right? And that 12, if you will, by the time that all the difficulties went through, they ended up with 120, kind of sifted out and refined and all in one accord in one place, right? And in one day, 3,120. That's not addition. That's multiplication. Exponentially. And then the next time we see an account, 5,000 were saved. That's not addition either. And then it leaves off counting. It says, multiplied multitudes.
Amen.
Hey, where are the multiplied multitudes? Where are they? We need to reproduce. And we can set aside all the jokes about my personal fact of this matter. A lot of preachers have teased me about taking God's replenish the earth command personally. But you know what? How's your spiritual heritage in reproduction? Your spiritual family tree. When's the last time you got to lead someone to the Lord?
Yeah. Amen.
Or maybe not even, if God hasn't chosen to bless you that way this year yet, how many people have you at least told? And gave a good gospel witness to? Hey, today I got to meet a septic guy. Guess what I did? I witnessed to him. Now, he's got his own ideas, and I hope he'll come and visit sometime. But at least I gave him the gospel. Nobody bats 1,000. Every person you talk to, you're not going to lead to Christ. But sometimes we just get to plant the seed. Sometimes we just get to water it. But God gives the increase. But whatever it is, whether we're planting seed, or whether we're watering, or whether we're reaping, whatever it is, we've got to do it with purpose.
Amen.
Or it won't get done. Just think about your honey-do list, guys. If you take a look at that list, and you acknowledge that it exists, even, okay? The only things that get done are the things you purpose to do. Because otherwise, they just sit on that list, and sit on that list, then sit on that list. Or maybe you take them off the list and don't tell anybody you took it off the list. Or you lost the list. Yeah, that's where I am. I lost the list. Because the things that we do not purpose to do don't get done. So we've got to purpose. Hey, I'm going to have a positive physical life. I'm going to have a positive spiritual life. I'm going to have a positive reproductive life in Christ. Fulfilling what God has asked us to do. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
Amen.
What made the first century church so productive? They purposed. They went to Jerusalem and they purposed to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, they purposed to preach the gospel. When 3,000 were saved and baptized and added to the church, they purposed. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, guess what? A few chapters later, Saul was sent to wreak havoc upon the church. And instead of scattering and dying and being the fire being put out, it scattered like wildfire and they went everywhere. Preaching the gospel like they were supposed to. Because they had a purpose. They had a purpose. A purpose in physical life. A purpose in spiritual life. And a purpose in reproduction. Ladies and gentlemen, in this day and time, 2022, with all the looming circumstances, we must have purpose.